This is Nature Notes, a Maine naturalist afield. I'm Pepin Middlehauser. This week, we conclude Sandhill Cranes in Maine by Sandra Mitchell. This essay was published in the Maine Natural History Observer in 2023 and has been adapted for radio. I assumed my pair would become more secretive after the breeding, and to some extent, this was true. They did continue their daily dances, and I would hear their rolling calls every day in a regular fashion. I was able to pinpoint where the nest was placed by watching the birds carefully. Nest building is almost as interesting as dancing. The birds use materials from the dominant local vegetation, such as sedges, cattails, and grasses. They gather material in their beaks, tossing it over their shoulders to result in a large mound that is 30 to 40 inches across and 4 to 6 inches high. They add a cup-shaped hollow for the eggs, lined with softer materials. Most commonly, the female stands on the mound to arrange the plant material, but I watched as one bird and then the other tried out the nest to make sure it was suitable. Some nests can even be entirely floating on water, a good thing given how wet the spring was. Levels in the marsh were higher than I had ever seen them, causing nest failures for many of the other resident bird species. My excitement to see the raising of the chicks increased by the day. I visited the pair daily, watching camouflaged from a long distance, waiting anxiously for the 30-day incubation period to pass. More and more frequently, I would only observe one bird feeding at dusk in the marsh. Sandhill crane chicks grow at an extremely rapid rate. Their sparse fluff is quickly replaced with feathers, and the young are nearly at adult size and are able to fly by 2 months of age. The female is primarily responsible for care of the chicks during this tender period of time, which explained my observation of consistently seeing one bird foraging at a time. Much to my dismay, the sedges and grasses in the marsh had other ideas for my grand plans. They grew slowly taller and taller. My obvious crane pair began to look like deer moving through a field, and eventually disappeared altogether, other than the occasional red tops of their heads. On canoe trips through the marsh, I would sometimes see them quietly slip into the tall grasses, almost instantly becoming invisible. I could only hope that they were able to hide from all predators as well as they were able to hide from me. Most years, a successful nest is only able to raise one chick, who then stays with the family group almost until the parents are ready to begin another nesting cycle. I was consistently hearing the rolling calls through the month of June and nearly until the end of July, when they became sparse and disappeared altogether in early August. I can only hope that the young were able to survive this wet spring and left with their parents. With luck, the entire family group will return to feed next spring, with the parents remaining for another nesting season. I am planning to take advantage of the lack of nesting birds in the marsh this winter to erect an elevated blind from which I hope to be able to better witness the progress of the small family, should they choose to return without causing them any stress or concern. Never before had I spent time in the company of small dinosaurs who were so graceful, beautiful, and had so much of the natural world to share. With continued conservation efforts and some luck, the sandhill crane population may continue to spread and bring them to a marsh near you. That was Nature Notes, a Maine Naturalist Afield from the Maine Natural History Observatory. This program was produced by Glenn Middlehauser. The theme music is Keeper of the Light by Hallie Pottle Parker, performed by Hallie Pottle Parker and Kate Pottle. For more information, you can go to mainenaturalhistory.org. You can find more episodes of Nature Notes on the WERU archive or wherever you get podcasts.